Okay, you ready?
You're listening to Design Yourself, a podcast to help you figure out what it is that you want and then make it happen. I'm Sharon Lepofsky. Hello, hello, and welcome to episode 39 of Design Yourself. I am Sharon, and I am so delighted this week to introduce you to Janaki Sanyal and Blake Sloan, the inspiring husband-wife team behind 43rd Place. This is the umbrella under which all of their creative projects and collaborations live, everything from woodworking, carpentry, photography, design, the list goes on. In fact, the very desk from which I am recording today was built by Blake himself, along with several other pieces in my home office. This was a super fun interview for me because I've known Blake since we were toddlers. We went to preschool together, elementary school together, high school together, and yet oftentimes it was more on the periphery. So we weren't, you know, we were at the same school, but not in the same class. And we were both, unbeknownst to the other, drawn back to our hometown, Hyattsville, Maryland, within months of each other. We moved here with our families, and we stumbled into each other at a barbecue. So this was fun for me to have a chance to sit down with Blake and Janaki and hear how did they get here. And you will see as you listen to the interview how much creativity and the ability to pursue their passions, what interests them, has really driven the choices that they've made. And one of the things that I especially loved about hearing them talk through their process and decision-making along the way is that it feels really organic. It wasn't that they were saying, here's our chart of how we're going to get from here to there, but there's some underlying values that really seem to be driving them that I think come through and I hope are as inspiring for you as it was for me in hearing them talk through it. So some of the things that you're going to get to hear about, balancing being parents of young children and how that's influencing the decisions they're making, how they evolved from what they were doing creatively. So going from things like music to woodworking, and how they interact together. You know, what is it like to be a husband-wife working together in the same, you know, having your home studio in the same place that you're living and, and the person that you're working with being also the person that you're going to bed with at night. And I think there's really a lot to learn from them in the process. And with that, I say, let us go to the interview. So I'm pumped to have you guys on the show today and feel really privileged that I get to be around your dining room table. I am betting, did you make this table?
Yes, this was like a gift. When did I give this to you? A birthday?
I think an anniversary gift.
It might have been like a first anniversary gift, so it's about 6 years old at this point.
Yeah.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah. Well, it is lovely. Maybe I will take a picture to put in the show notes before I leave. So here with Blake and Janaki. Uh-huh. And we're going to talk about all kinds of things, what you're doing with 43rd Place, the creative umbrella under which you guys are both operating. And I've already given a little bit of a sneak preview that Blake does woodworking and carpentry, which you will see elsewhere on my blog as I'll be featuring the office that he's in the midst of remaking for me, which I'm so excited about. Awesome. But I wanted to start with just hearing from both of you about what is it that you're doing with 43rd Place and what are all the many things that are happening underneath that umbrella?
Well, I think 43rd Place is still sort of a work in progress. I think even before we left Chicago, which was almost 2.5 years ago, before 43rd Place had its name, before we lived on the street 43rd Place, we were sort of just thinking about ways to collaborate. And we knew that we were buying a house and rehabbing it. I think we also knew that we wanted to try to tell the story of that. He's always been our documentarian and photographer and just kind of the storyteller. So we knew we wanted to, you know, turn our project into a story. And I don't know, maybe you can comment on where that came from. I'm not sure I remember.
Yeah, it evolved from when we moved here and we started rehabbing this place. We thought maybe a cool story would come out of just kind of documenting, you know, the beginning to end. And that was how the notion of 43rd Place, I think, became a storytelling event as well. Just wanting to build a narrative, wanting to tell a little bit about our family, you know, behind the scenes of the woodwork and the rehabbing stuff. And yeah.
Because, yeah, we had a one-year-old daughter when we moved from Chicago. Mm-hmm. And of course, she was very much a part of everything we were doing. So,
sure.
And very photogenic, in our opinion.
In mine as well.
So, yeah, I don't know. Just it was hard not to, to tell that story. And yeah. And I think it got a good response. We had a blog that was called 43rd Place. And then also started doing things on Instagram. And, yeah, people like to see it.
Oh, I will definitely be linking to your Instagram. Yours is one of my favorites. The more I dug into it, I was like, this just keeps getting better. More ideas I can source out of this. So, and as a fellow parent to young children, it's fun to see how they pop up, both your daughter and now your son. Mm-hmm. You guys are in the one-year-old business again.
Oh, yes. Back at it.
So when I was preparing for the interview and looking at the kinds of things that you're talking about doing in 43rd Place, I was seeing, so there's woodworking and carpentry, which I'm of course experiencing as you're taking my many novellas I'm sending you, Blake, about about filing cabinets and how they'll fit on top of maple and mm-hmm. and shelving, but that there's also design and photography and video. And when I was looking at that, I was like, oh, what kinds of things, like, what does that look like? How does that show up? And of course, the Instagram feed was in my mind as beautiful photography that I'm seeing all the time. But I was curious, like, how does that show up? Is that something, Janaki, that you're doing? Or, you know, Blake, are you doing that too?
Mm-hmm. The Instagram and the photography is definitely 100% Janaki. I think we've always known that the importance of kind of that for marketing is huge for the business. So we spend as much time kind of trying to tell the story and sort of curating to an extent, mm-hmm. although we're very honest with everything mm-hmm. we put out there. Just trying to curate that story to honestly bring in business. Yeah. I think it's been it's sort of happened organically, but it's been a good way to connect to people, especially moving back to our hometown of Hyattsville, where there's a lot of young people coming back, and of course they're all very tied into social media. So I think it's just been a good kind of way to infiltrate the local scene, and there's not a ton of local woodworkers, you know, so that's, I think, been a story that people have.
Sure. I think Blake and I, for a long time, we have a history of collaborating on video making.
Okay.
Coming from Chicago, that was like, you know, one of the things that we worked on together. Blake was in a band and I was their band photographer and we worked a lot on making music videos.
We had a kind of lousy band, not a lousy band, but a so-so band that was like became kind of known for our cool videos that we were making.
Yeah.
Oh, we started making these bandisodes that were like little web short films that were kind of funny and
yeah.
All right.
Yeah, that, so
don't omit it. What was the band name?
I was in two bands. One was called The Great Perhaps, and the other one was called Pool of Frogs. Uh-huh. There might be something still lurking out there on MySpace or Friendster.
There was a sheepish downward looking glance for those of you who are hearing this only over audio. I'm sure it's lovely. I remember, so fun history on you and me, Blake. You are probably one of the few people that I went to school with almost my entire life. So straight from preschool on into elementary school. Till my mom ripped me out before sixth grade, and then met back up again in high school until again my parents ripped me out to move to Arizona for senior year. But Hyattsville is a place we both grew up, Hyattsville, Maryland, right outside of Washington, D.C. And it was only when I think we ran into each other at a barbecue that I was like, what? You're back in Hyattsville? And wait a minute. It turns out we came back within months of each other. So what, and Janaki, you are from the area as well, not quite, you know, within the same block radius as me and Blake, but also coming back really to home. What inspired you guys to come back here into this place?
For me, for the both of us, it's family. You know, we had about 10 years in Chicago, and when our daughter arrived, I think it was a strong motivator to bring her closer to our family. We live right down the street from my sister, you know, right over there, and we've got a really tight tribe close by, which is a nice support system. And there were a lot of appeals to coming back to, you know, it's a poppin' part of town now, and there's lots of fun things, there's lots of young families, it's accessible. There was a lot that drew us back, I think.
Yeah. What can I add to that? I guess the hardest thing for me about leaving Chicago, I was in Chicago a couple years before we met and Janaki moved out, but I had been in my dream job for like almost 5 years right when we moved, and I was running this huge shop at a reclaimed building materials warehouse, a place called Rebuilding Exchange. It's still around, you can look it up. But running this big shop with, you know, we were doing tons of projects, huge scale projects, and really, it started from nothing, and then we were collaborating with architects and designers all over Chicago, doing a lot of restaurant work. So at sort of the peak of that, I had to make the tough decision to like, okay, let's step back from this, because we did have a 1-year-old, and this had always been our plan to sort of come back. And I'll admit, I was really nervous to like leave this great job.
Yeah.
And come back here with no real prospects. Mm-hmm. Other than we owned a property in Chicago that we sold, so that gave us kind of a little nest egg.
Yep.
And we knew we wanted to find a fixer-upper and then fix it up. So that was, I think the excitement of that was a big motivator, in addition to family being here. But it really didn't take too many weeks for me to completely forget about my old job and just love kind of our new setup once we got here.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that's striking me is you guys clearly had a level of clarity about where you were going. Even so, you're in the momentum of like the job in Chicago, and you know, I'm sure life there that was happening all around you. Mm-hmm. And yet somewhere along the way you had decided like, hey, you know, when family comes, we want to be back closer to that network. Mm-hmm. Like, how did that come about? Like, what gave you that kind of clarity?
I don't know. What would you say?
I don't know. I would probably take credit for that.
Take it, lady.
I think that was all me. I think maybe just because I'm a very family oriented person, so I think leaving my family to move to Chicago in the first place, it was always a thing that I always kind of, you know, as our time in Chicago, you know, went on, I was always kind of the one that was, you know, reminding us to kind of remember about coming home. I think. Mm-hmm. So I think even since the moment I got there, I was like, but remember.
Yeah.
Still going back.
This is a temporary landing.
We were pretty strategic with how we planned it, though. I mean, there were so many moving parts, because we wanted to sell this building that we owned, take that money, and then buy a house here. And we had sort of lined up this house through friends of friends before we even moved. It was just, I don't know, it's a very complicated time. Just the sheer volume of stuff that we had and then had to transport halfway across the country with the 1-year-old in tow was daunting. Yeah.
So I want to come back to the kind of that moment when you got here and also, you know, kind of presently things that you're working on. But there's so much that as I'm hearing you talk about, like time in Chicago and, you know, Janaki, when you went to Chicago and you had clearly been there before Blake. So I want to give you space to like back it up and give a sense of like, how did you get here? You know, what was this past story of, you know, when did you guys meet up as a husband, wife, pairing, I'm sure before then, boyfriend, girlfriend, and all that good stuff. And you kind of, what was the lead in before you landed here on 43rd Place?
Well, Blake started out, Blake went to Chicago after college. Correct me if I if I misspeak.
This is a, not a couple's quiz, don't worry.
To strike it rich in the music business.
Right. And I was still at college here. I was still going to college here in Maryland. And Blake and I grew up with a lot of people, with a lot of similar people, and ran in a lot of similar circles without ever overlapping. Kind of, I knew his name for a long time before meeting him. And those circles did converge at one point over a Thanksgiving weekend. And we met and barreled into a, I don't know, 6 months of long distance relationship between Chicago and Maryland. And that, at that time, Blake was really heavy into his music. So he was on the music scene in Chicago, and him and I were visiting, and I moved there after a little while, kind of experimentally, I think. We were just like,
yeah, it was like a trial. We were like 6 months long distance. Why don't you come move? Move to Chicago. Let's see.
Yeah.
Stay with me for a few weeks and look for your own place.
Yeah.
See,
that was the plan,
How'd that work out?
That was the plan.
She never got that place.
I never did. But that was where I think our also our creative collaboration, you know, that was that's kind of what our relationship has always been built on, is being able to work together on things, being able to, you know, make goofy videos together. And I think that was where the seeds, like Blake and I have also worked a lot together on, you know, on music, on photography. We like to try to collaborate, I think.
We've done a few stop motion videos that took
been all over
6 months for about 30 seconds.
Any links you want to give me, I'll put up on the show notes, guys.
It's our pride and joy. So yeah, and then, I don't know, you want to take it from there, us living together in Chicago?
Yeah, it was those glory days when we were kind of young and foolish and working in restaurants, and then and you started going to grad school. Feels so long ago. It was so much fun to to not have children. No, I'm kidding. Cut that out.
Your parents love you.
But yeah, I don't know. I think we were just always, you know, always sort of found our fun kind of artistically together doing, you know, goofy projects.
And it sounds like the creative pursuits were really front and center, and then you would have jobs that you did in order to support that. But maybe I'm reading in between the lines wrong. But is that kind of how you would describe it, or would you characterize it differently?
Yeah, I guess more so for me, especially when I was, you know, wanted just to work on music, and was just bartending because it was the easiest money I could find. I think your story is a little bit different because she's also pursued, a social work degree and then a master's in social work.
Yeah, I have a secret identity as a social worker.
Spill it now.
My story is a little bit different because I also was simultaneously pursuing social work and I don't know. I think it was always a kind of a thing that we peppered in with our time together. But yeah, there was a lot of different paths that we were, I think, dipping our toe in.
Yeah. And did you, after having pursued the school, did you go and practice social work as well?
Yeah, that was when I started working in schools and doing after school programs and working with immigrants and refugees. And Chicago was a time where we were both all over the place. It's funny reflecting on it now how many different things we were doing. So for me, it was like social work and counseling during the day, and then during the night we were hanging out and making cool things. And for him, it was probably bartending at night and working on music during the day.
Yeah,
it was so much.
Yeah, that's all good practice for needing that kind of energy when you have kids later.
Exactly, a lot of juggling.
And then at some point, it sounds like there was a shift where you started up with this woodworking shop, Blake. But did you feel like there was a shift, like, hey, I'm letting go of music? Or
as a struggling musician, one of the best things that I ever did, and this was because my dad kind of insisted upon it, was me and my buddy Will, who I was doing music with out there in Chicago, and he's also from Hyattsville.
Oh, I think this is a PG Pool, Will
Duncan.
Yeah.
our parents are also friends,
yeah.
and we sort of all collaborated and decided it would be smart for me and Will to sort of purchase some kind of fixer-upper to have a little investment that wasn't just our bands, you know, getting a record deal. So we bought a 3-unit apartment building in Chicago with a loan from our parents and did some work to fix that up and started renting it and living in it. And that sort of opened up kind of, you know, I got really into DIY projects, yeah. and just fixing every aspect of the house. And I had grown up kind of in that culture. My dad's very hands-on and has a lot of friends that are kind of that way too. But that sort of started the shift.
Okay.
And I was kind of juggling the two for a while, and I made 2 different websites.
Okay.
I made a music website because I was, in addition to being into bands, I was also trying to do film scoring,
yep.
and a little bit more instrumental music for commercials and, you know, trying to carve out like a long-lasting career in music, not just
yeah.
a, you know, indie rock band that had a few good years. So I made a website for that, and then I made a website for woodworking and put a few of the kind of reclaimed wood projects I had been tinkering with, and just sort of let it happen naturally, and the music didn't do as well as the woodworking. So,
and so it was for you kind of a natural pull into the other.
And I mean, honestly, I enjoyed them both. I was really excited about woodworking and all this carpentry stuff when that happened. And after, you know, 6 or 8 years of Chicago kind of playing clubs and doing little tours and trying
yep.
to, you know, get some attention, it just, yeah, it was hard.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Well, I do still see a guitar hanging up by the front door. So
yeah.
It looks like music is probably still showing up in some way,
yeah.
shape, or form.
I would describe our family band as probably the best band I've ever been in.
Yes. All right. Side note, future collaboration with the Falofsky family band, as we like to call ourselves, with me and Colin and
okay, nice.
Our kiddo.
Yeah.
So
it's on.
Jam session for the future. Awesome. And so you had that shift, you had the apartment building, and at some point you started in with the shop as well and kind of climbed up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, sounds like you were, was it a fledgling business? Was it?
It was exactly that. Yeah. I was of someone I worked with at the restaurant when I was a bartender, knew that I was doing a little bit of woodworking and said, oh, you should meet my friend. She's about to open this warehouse that sells reclaimed materials. And it was on the south side of Chicago in a terrible neighborhood. And I, you know, took literally a two-hour bus ride from the north side of Chicago down to this warehouse and met the friend and clicked. And they, you know, they had a staff of like 2 people that were just starting
yeah.
to figure out what to do with these materials. And they were starting this job training program with ex-offenders and kind of needed just more hands.
Yeah.
So with not a lot of training, I kind of faked my way into that and built them a shop. You know,
awesome.
With that, yeah, I was like, sure, yeah, I know how to set up that big table saw. I can do that.
Yeah,
and just kind of faked it until.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
And what do you know? What, if anything, do you feel like from the time that you both spent together in Chicago kind of still sits with you as kind of whether lessons learned or creative things that you've taken with you as you kind of sit now in Hyattsville in the present?
I would say that from my band bartending days in Chicago, I sort
yeah.
of developed a little bit more of I don't know, what makes me an okay businessman, like what allows me to interface with clients, because that's
yeah.
so much of what I do now that is not something that's very natural to me. So
mm-hmm.
That was something that came from Chicago.
Yeah.
I think also just like, I don't know, we just always had fun working on little projects and being artsy, and I think, you know, we bring our kids into that now.
Yeah.
But that, yeah, that's always been a part of our collaboration.
Yeah, Chicago was where I think this was definitely our formative years, I think, of kind of planting the seeds of whatever we could fashion into our like ideal,
yeah,
you know, perfect business. If we could ever go into business together, it could be, you know, a little bit of this, a little bit of video, a little bit of photo, a little bit of music, a little bit of everything. And in Chicago, for me, Chicago was where, I mean, I learned how to use a camera and how to work on video. I think that was where I went on tour with those guys and got to really, you know, try to get into it and really kind of familiarize.
Be a professional photographer.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
24/7.
Yeah, and my photography, you know, the seeds of that interest were kind of planted, you know, going around to shows and kind of being on the music scene there. And I feel like all of these things were things that, like, as we moved away from the city, as we moved towards being parents, we were just kind of like, we got it. These were like parts of our identity, I think, that we really wanted to carry along with us, like,
yep.
And I think coming here, and we were like, you know, we didn't want to let go of everything that we had worked on in Chicago, I think. So I think it's a lot, it's all kind of like just trying to bring it together and involve our kids and involve it as a family pursuit.
Yeah. So there's two ways that I've heard you describe 43rd Place, which I'm really loving, and I'm wondering, like, where you see these come together. Are they distinct for you? One is, when you were first describing it, was as a story, so like really a place to tell your story, which I thought was really quite poetic. And then I'm also hearing you describe it as a business, and really it's, I mean, in many ways it sounds like you have brought together all of these creative endeavors under this one place and made it a business that you're in together, which I think is also new. So you'd have creative projects but not necessarily the business side. So I'm wondering, for you, between like the story and the business, like, how do those fit together, if at all?
Well, I think the story has been, I mean, we don't do any marketing other than our little bit of online Instagram, social media storytelling. All of our clients come to us because they seem to be gravitated to the story, and I'm sure to the work to some extent too. But yeah, I don't know. I think it is being able to put a face and a whole family to these products or these items.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It feels better for people than going to the store, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's taken a while to merge those two things, and they don't perfectly exist together yet. I think because I think wanting to like evolve our identity of like the, I think that like the business and the woodworking and rehabbing, all of that stuff exists on its own. And yeah, like Blake said, there is no marketing, but it is kind of, it's been a thing of us just really trying to form a full identity around that.
Yep.
And it's not immediately, it hasn't immediately, you know, it's not seamless. It's been something that we kind of like try to ongoingly work on, try to make, like, you know, like one of the things that we're trying to is getting more structured about our social media presence, you know, wanting to make videos every week. We, you know, even just simple music videos that we do about what goes on in the shop. But I think it has required also a little bit more structuring and reframing of our like mission, you know, just kind of incorporating all of those things all together. So it hasn't been easy, and I don't think it's been naturally the two forces combine.
Yeah, and we're also sort of still trying to incorporate some broader social mission into, you know, Janaki's a social worker, obviously, and I was doing what felt slightly more meaningful work in Chicago, actually training ex-offenders and, you know, not just building stuff, but teaching skills to people as we were building stuff. And we talk a lot about sort of how to bring that into what we're doing now.
Yeah. And it sounds like this is kind of, you're in the brainstorming phase of what that would look like.
Yeah. Honestly, time is not on our side. Just finding the time to photograph a piece of furniture that I've made before it has to be delivered to a client is like a real challenge for us.
You can definitely come photograph my office.
Excellent.
Hearing you say that, I mean, I find it really inspiring because it's something I think about with Point Road too, is, you know, I was listening to someone describe, which feels so accurate, if you don't donate $10 when you have $100, you won't donate when you have $100,000. Like, and whether it's donating money or it's figuring out how to integrate the social mission or actual people that you can bring in to support that's also helping get people back up on their feet, it does, I mean, it feels incredibly important. We live in such in an area where I feel like there's tons of opportunity to create these connections, but finding the pathway that feels like it's aligned with the story, mm-hmm. you know, whoever's story it is, mm-hmm. is not always straightforward.
Yeah.
So I love that you guys are thinking about that. Keep me posted on that as well. I'll be ready to take notes on how that's working. As you look towards what's next, I mean, clearly you're thinking about the social mission side of things and, you know, as we all are, you know, continuing to integrate, you know, different parts of the business. But anything else that's on your radar when you look to the future for 43rd Place?
I think there's a couple little ideas we've been toying around with. I think talking about the social mission, expanding the workshop has been a thing that we've been thinking a lot about. The workshop downstairs is tight and it's limiting because of the size. And I think
sure.
Another thing is also kind of contemplating like taking on somebody like an assistant in the workshop or mm-hmm. An intern. And I think for me, I think I really like the idea of like evolving the storytelling side of it too. And I think kind of talking about photographing and documenting the sourcing of materials and the kind of locally sourced, you know, each time that we get a new pile of lumber or materials from a job that, you know, Blake did around the corner, it's all kind of got a great story behind it. And, you know, our lumber that's coming from Baltimore, all of it has so many great documentable stories that I think we're just dying to have the time to be able to pull all those threads in. So for me, those are like some of the things that I kind of see in the future. Mm-hmm. Once we can organize and structure a little better.
We're in a really sweet spot right now where we have two little kids and I'm working from home and Janaki does social work part time. So she's at home a lot and we can kind of balance childcare with work and work all sorts of odd hours. I don't have to travel across town to some shop somewhere else. Right now that feels a little restrictive. I was working in a much bigger shop with a staff of, you know, two full-time employees and interns and assistants and trainees, and the volume of stuff we were producing was staggering, you know.
Yep.
And now it's like, you know, Janaki, come help me sand this thing. It's due tomorrow, you know. Yeah, we're working to ramp it up, but it's also nice just being so small right now.
Yeah, I feel like there's something to be said for, you know, on the one hand, you have the experience. You've seen what it's like to be in the bigger shop, which I imagine when and if you choose to expand, you will have that perspective and all the lessons learned. But when you can be intentional about, like, here I am in this season, and this season is two little kids and like balancing of complex childcare support network and being in your community, and like it's a choice. And I feel like when you're intentional about it, then it feels like okay. But when it feels like it's getting away from you, mm-hmm. and it's just the momentum of things, at least for me, I mean, I'm also choosing office at home, not wanting to be traveling all over the country to go places, because in this season that feels mm-hmm. right. But that push pull feels familiar to me too.
Yeah I know how much more work we could do with the staff behind us.
Yeah,
sure. But you know,
but yeah. Also, I mean, it's our perfect little business right now. It's just the two of us, like both of us, you know, we're homebodies, we're both introverts, I think, so there's something about like, you know, just be us being able to work and just keeping the workload measured as to like just what we're able to keep up with. And but it's also something that we I think mull over a lot, just like, well, we like, you know, being just us in the workshop and, you know, and kind of trying to save that perfect little stay, but also, you know, expanding and needing more space. It's, we're kind of trying to find the happy balance, I think.
Yeah. Well, the ease with which how you two are interacting feels very clear, even just sitting across the table from you in the interview. But I'm curious, like, because this is the first time you have also been in the business together, like, what is that like? I mean, it's looking very dreamy from over here, which is awesome if that's what it is. But, like, what is that like to be, you know, both living together, working together, you know, two little kids running around? Like,
it's good. I don't know. I guess when you say it out loud, it sounds like it would be a lot, but I feel like we hardly get to see each other, you know? And maybe that I don't know, it feels like we don't spend that much time that isn't on work or on the kids, I guess, is what I'm saying. But it's, yeah, it's nice. I don't know. I think if she were away full time, or if I had to leave to a different shop every day, yeah, it just wouldn't feel the same.
I don't know. For me, it does feel pretty dreamy, because it's like collaborating in exactly the way that we want to be doing that, you know. So it's, you know, I mean, it's also, I don't know, us getting to hang out in the workshop and talk about designs, you know. Probably one of the funnest things that, you know, we got to do was talk about designing, you know, a playhouse for, you know, a family that's nearby, or talking about, you know, whatever kind of new projects we want to do. But it's nice because it's just us in our own space, and we're going back and forth and talking about design ideas and talking about, you know, shots for the music video that we want to make, or, you know, all kinds of different things. But just, feels like a nice sacred collaborative space to be able to always have, you know, and in this time where it's so busy, and like the kids are, one kid's that way, one kid's that way, and I got work, and, you know, we got family outings and so much to juggle, but we have that cool collaborative space that also, you know, aside from it feeling good for the business and for us being able to work together, I think, you know, it feels good for our relationship. And
so beautiful. See, it does sound pretty dreamy, you guys.
I guess it is.
Oh, that's awesome. Well, as we wind down, I am curious to know, you know, I'm always holding the idea of wanting to support people in leading a well-designed life in the work that I'm doing. And I'm curious for you all, like, what does it mean to lead a well-designed life from your perspective?
It's funny you asked. I feel like I always feel like a few clicks short of that, you know what I mean? But I think we're approaching it. I don't know. I mean, for us right now, it feels well designed if we can get out of the house in the morning with both of the kids going where they need to go.
Yeah.
Dressed and bathed and...
It's a tough question. Yeah. You can look at it from so many different angles. Yeah, it's like, you know, at this stage of our life with the kids being so young, yeah, in some ways it's just like just trying to keep with the schedule. It feels like the basic of the foundation of designing our life. And then there's you know, I think also like the aesthetic of our home is a way that we kind of try to, you know, we want so much for this to embody us, for, you know, Blake and I to keep our holdings in this house and not let the kids overtake with, like, you know, toys, which is always our struggle. But I think also, you know, the aesthetic element of it is also, you know, something we're ever striving for. But we're working towards it. We're getting there.
I don't know. I mean, I think at the end of the day, feeling glad about the work we're doing and the people that we're working with feels well designed. Mm-hmm. And, it feels like a lot of randomness has led us here, but we've been pretty calculated about this, and we were, you know, planning this business, although it kind of has taken its own shape, but we were brainstorming this in Chicago before we left. And so far it's working out pretty good.
And I think the next step for that is like, I think we really enjoy collaborating with other local business and other local makers and other, you know, we've got friends that are, you know, doing really cool stuff in the area as well, you know, DC friends and Maryland friends, and just kind of also being able to, you know, I think kind of refine that network and be working with, you know, with all the cool people that we love.
Yeah. And we're just really starting to build momentum specifically in Hyattsville. I think after 2 years and doing a couple of the arts fests here locally, just, you know, right now I've got like 4 active jobs that are all in Hyattsville that I could walk to.
Awesome.
And we love the clients in DC and all that, but I mean, it's really nice to, you know, cruise 4 minutes and be at your house working on something or.
Yep.
So that, I don't know if what we did to design that and make it happen, but that's cool.
Yeah.
And I feel like there's a lot more people we've yet to meet in Hyattsville that, you know, will be future clients.
Mm-hmm. Well, I will say I am deeply appreciative of hearing your story and empathetic to what it's like when you have young children. And with number three imminent, I'm thinking, oh yeah, like, it's not, don't get me wrong, we have not caught our breath with a 4-year-old and a 2-year-old, but there is something when, you know, children are still not walking and, you know, all, and you're figuring out what, you know, all of those pieces. So I'm really empathetic to that. And I will reflect that when I, as I've heard you across the course of the interview, talk about, you know, how you thought about moving from Chicago to here and the story that you're telling, you know, on the one hand, I can see how much you're in it, you know, in the day to day. I'm like, it feels pretty intentional to me as I'm here, you know, hearing the pieces that you've done, organic and fluid for sure. But also, like, you know, you are in the driver's seat of what you're creating. And that to me is one of the things I was so drawn to, both in getting to work with you, you know, on the office project. And I'm like, oh, I'm like, I got to get my business really ramping up so I can afford all these projects that would be fun to do. But I think about, just, you know, how you're describing what you're building. And I think for a lot of people, it's like, there's a level of courage that's taken to just be able to go out there and do that versus go get the full-time job or get back into another, you know, studio, which they'd exist in this area, and you're not doing that even though you could. And so I myself am inspired and thinking, I think there's some more intention that I'm observing than maybe you are able to see when you're in the midst of just the fray. Mm-hmm. So thank you for taking the time and for being on the show.
My pleasure.
Could you let folks know where they could find out more about you? And I'll make sure I'm linking to all that in the show notes as well.
Yeah, you can find us at 43rdplace.com. And yeah, definitely check out our Instagram, which is our main platform. And it's just 43rd Place, all one word.
Beautiful. All right. Well, high five, guys.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, so that is a wrap for today's interview. Thank you to everyone for listening in. Before closing, I wanted to give you a heads up on where you can go to learn more about 43rd Place and other upcoming interviews and content that we've got going on. For show notes, you can head over to pointroadstudios.com/podcast. That's where you can get full show notes for today's episode. You can also find the links to 43rd Place's website and their Instagram account, which, as I said in the interview, I'm obsessed with. So definitely check that out. I have also put up on the show notes the beautiful dining room table snapshot where we recorded the interview. And this is the very table that Blake built for Janaki for their first anniversary. So that's a fun one to see. And I've also put in a few sneak peek pictures of pieces that Blake created for my home office renovation, which, when I have cleared up all of the clutter, theoretically sometime when I don't have a 6-week-old in my arms, I will be doing a longer blog post on this office renovation. While you are over at the pointroadstudios.com site, look for the green subscribe button so that you can join our community and stay up to date on upcoming interviews and all of our content aimed at spreading the design yourself spirit. And as always, if you like what you heard in today's show, please, please help me spread the word. 2 fast and simple ways that you can do this. 1, tell your friends about the show. So if you like what you heard, send it on to somebody else. And 2, head over to iTunes and leave the show a written review. This really helps us get exposure to this content to a larger audience. So I read every single one of these interviews. I take the feedback seriously and greatly appreciate it if you do pass along a review. And with that, thank you as ever for listening. I am wishing each of you a beautiful spring week wherever you are. May there be daffodils and tulips and an all-around happy spirit. And remember, there is nothing stopping you. So go on ahead and get after whatever it is that you really want.